I'll be able to introduce one of my dear rebbeims and somebody who I've learned a tremendous amount from in life and learning. And as the Mashkiach of Yeshiva Sorach Haim in Queens, that was my relationship with Rabbi Pingelman. But many of you know him from the story tapes, and also from Camp Dor Golding, and also from Stam. Last week I spoke to I'm not sure I told the story to Rebbe, but I was trying to figure out where to have the Lamach last night. And I called him Elio Yari, out of the blue. I said, you know, I'm making a Lamach for a single man. And this is a person who never learned in Orach Haim. He never went to Dor Golding. He said, I owe him a tremendous amount of respect. I am where I am today because of him. So the Musar Haskel is that even people who come into contact with my Rebbe, kill achar yad, so to speak, in a secondary way, our mispol and our mushka from my Rebbe's words. And I'm sure each and every one of you will also get a tremendous hashpa from the words of Mori Rabbi Rebbe Pinkelman. Amen.
Rishus, the Rosh Yeshiva, even though they're not sitting here, but it's only with your Rishus that I can speak. The general Hanhala, all the way to Shiurim here, and yourselves, very Choshev and Talmidim of the Yeshiva. I really look forward to being here every year. I get a big chizuk from seeing all of you who are here to learn Torah in Yerushalayim, Kimitzi, and Tetzet Torah, by Hashem Yerushalayim. The Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Oye Hashem Sha'arei Tzion Mikol Mishkenes Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Chazal tied Sha'arei Tzion, Sha'arim HaMetzuyonim Bahalocha. Since Kimitzin Tetzet Torah, all Torah comes from Yerushalayim. So that's where the source of Kedusha is in the world. So wherever the people are learning Torah, wherever they're learning Torah in the world, they have Yidden have Dalal Amos of Yerushalayim under them, wherever they learn Torah. Mikol Mishkenes Yaakov, from any other place where Yidden may be living, but living is one thing, and living at Torah is yet a higher madrega. So Tzadik HaKoyen says on that Chazal, it doesn't just mean somebody who's learning Torah right now, so he has Dalal Amos of Eretz Yisrael under his feet. He says even if somebody's going on business someplace, and a Re'iyah Asura, something he's not supposed to look at, passes him by, and he's not mistakel, he doesn't look with intent to look. So that's called Torah. He's living Torah. He has Dalal Amos of Eretz Yisrael under his feet. But Kal V'chomer, when you have Dalal Amos of Eretz Yisrael under your feet, and you're learning Torah, it's a tremendous achus, and I appreciate being able to share some words with you. I like to call it a vad, not a drosha. A vad is rather a meeting, so if you have any comments or questions you want to ask in the middle, you're welcome to. I want to discuss b'chlal, the Sefer HaGeulah. Every one of our chumashim is a sefer, has a topic. L'moshel, Bereshis is called Sefer HaYashar. And it's also it's known as the Sefer of Bria, of the creation, because Klal Yisrael was created in Bereshis. The Ovis are it's called Sefer HaYashar because of the Ovis. The Ovis were looked at by the entire world as Yisharim, as people who were straight and proper, and everyone thought they could learn from them, which is what we're supposed to be. The Kuzri says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Yidden all over the world in exile is so that the goyim all over the world will recognize Hashem, will at least be inspired to keep their seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. When the Kuzri was written, there were no reformed or conservative Jews. Until 350 years ago, when reformed Judaism began, a Jew knew either he was observant or he was sinning. All of a sudden, there's a new type of religion that you could be a good Jew and not keep Shabbos, and be a good Jew and not eat kosher, and it became a religion. Became another form of Judaism. But I think if the Kuzri was writing his Sefer today, he would write that we're in exile all over the world so that Jews should know this Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Jews should know to see how beautiful it is to live a Torah life when we live it correctly. Not only the Goyim, but today we're living in a time, you know, that the Havtocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're in now. Now we're in Sefer HaGeulah. The entire Sefer Shemois, the Ramban explains, in the Hakdamah to the Sefer, is Sefer HaGeulah, all the way to the end of Pekudeh. The Geulah was a three-part Geulah. And what I want to say about it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, Ki Beitzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ha'enu Niflois. I will show you wonders at the end of time, the same way as when you left Mitzrayim. Among those promises is in last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago's parasha, and now we're already in Mishpatim. In Bishalach, the Gemara dashes in the words, Oz Yashir Moshe. The entire Torah, practically, is written in past tense. Vayedaber, Vayikach, Vayoymer, you have the future, with a Vava Hibuch. It turns the word into past tense. And he spoke, and he took, and he went. Vayetze Yaakov, Vayelech. All of a sudden we have real future tense. Oz Yashir Moshe. Instead of Oz Shor Moshe, or Vayoshar Moshe. So the Gemara says, "Mikan l'tchias ha'meisim min hatoy." From here we see that l'tchias ha'meisim, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to sing with us the same song, because our geula will be like Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he'll be able to sing the same Oz Yashir with us about our geula, Oz Yashir Moshe. And I feel, I haven't seen it written down anywhere, but we're on the threshold of that, because we're living in a historical time similar to that of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do we know about Yetzias Mitzrayim from Vayishlach, from Mishalach as well? V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eres Mitzrayim. The first pshat, Pasuk Pshat, went armed, ready for war. V'chamushim, second pshat in Rashi, is 1 out of 5 left Mitzrayim. Human beings, Hashem created within us a tremendous gift called shikcho. We forget things. You wish you wouldn't forget your learning, but at the same time, it's a bracha. It causes us to have to review and be omel in learning, but that's not what the bracha of shikcha was given for dafka. Stakler Goin writes in his Chayin Olam that the bracha of shikcha is that we forget pain and we forget sadness. Time heals a wound. We forget. So that's what happened to us in Mitzrayim. During the last phase of Mitzrayim, before the Geula itself, there were Eser Makos. During the Eser Makos, we had no Shibud. Now, what happened to us prior to the Shibud? Prior to the Shibud in Parshas Vayigash, when we first arrived in Mitzrayim, so Yaakov Avinu had a design for us. There was only one holy Makom in Mitzrayim. We know that we're a spiritual people. Everything has an effect on us. Everything emanates certain energies. And Makoy, where we are, is also Goyim. If we go into a place of Tumah, it seeps into us, the impurity. I'll give you an example, a story. There was a family that was once big millionaires, a New York family, the Golding family. In fact, Kandura Golding was just mentioned by Yehuda. Dora Golding is named for Mrs. Dora Golding. I heard from the family that she's the famous person with whom that Chofetz Chaim story happened. That she went to visit Radin. She gave so much money to the Chofetz Chaim's yeshiva. She went to see the Chofetz Chaim in Russia. And she asked him, "Oh my goodness, look at your furniture. The yeshiva has such horrible furniture. Doesn't the yeshiva want to have better furniture?" So the Chofetz Chaim asked her, "And where is your furniture? Do you have it with you?" She said, "No, I'm just traveling." He said, "I'm also just traveling. For traveling, this is good enough furniture. This is not my home. Well, my MS, that's going to be my home. There, I hope to have nice furniture. This is just for traveling. You don't carry your furniture either when you travel." You know, she was the one who asked me the question, the family tells us. So I went to Menachem Avil decades ago when they were still living in the Upper West Side in this big townhouse. Since then, what it says in the Gemara about money, the reason it's been round since the beginning of time is because money rolls. Today it's here, tomorrow it's there. So that townhouse is not theirs anymore. Well, the Maisa, I went to that townhouse, to Menachem Avil. And that was owned by a sister-in-law of Dora Golding, a different Mrs. Golding. I forgot her first name. And they saved one thing of hers after her patira. That was a dress that she had made for when Mashiach comes. She had a very elegant gown made up with beading and sequins. She never wore it. To her children's weddings and bar mitzvahs, she wore other gowns. But that was made up just when Mashiach comes, she should have what to wear. That was the kind of woman she was. So they had 2 albums of thank you letters from the Gedolei Hador that were hosted in that townhouse, in that beautiful, tremendous 12-room apartment. And not only would she give them a place to stay and food to eat, and as far as kashrus, she had 3 kitchens in those 12 rooms. Fleishik's, Milchik, and Parav, I saw it. 3 different kitchens. And there were another one, Pesach kitchens, incidentally. It's interesting. But there were 3 kitchens. So one of the stories they told us was that Rav Elchanan, when he came a few times from Europe to raise money for his yeshiva as a friend of the Rav for Baranovich, so of course she gave her car, her limousine, and her chauffeur to any girl who came to stay by them. So she told over that the family was telling us during the shiva that the grandmother told over that one day this non-Jewish chauffeur comes home after he had driven Rav Elchanan, and he says to Mrs. Golding, "This man is a holy man." She asked him, "How do you know?" He said, "Because he wanted to do his work, so he dropped the Venetian blinds in the back part of the limousine. And he couldn't see the street. He put on the light in the back, and he was doing his work while I drove. But when I got to Times Square, he started pounding on that window between the driver and the passenger in the back of the limousine. There's a window between them. And I didn't understand his Yiddish, but he was certainly telling me to get him out of there, wherever I was. He felt, the non-Jewish driver realized that it's a Machon Tomei. You know, the theater district, all the, even in those days, even you know, 70 years ago, theater wasn't snooze. It was better than today, but it wasn't snooze. And he was very amazed that without seeing out of the blinds, he could get so affected by the neighborhood itself. He realized this is a holy man. So Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda to Goshen. It was the only city owned by a Yid in the whole Mitzrayim. Goshen was the city given to Sarah Imenu by Paroi as to appease her after he had taken her captive when Avram Avinu ended up in Mitzrayim. So Paroi gave her a matona, he gave her a city in Mitzrayim, real estate, as a gift to appease her for what he had done. So Yaakov sent Yehuda lefon of Goshna to build the yeshiva there. The last kliyokar in the parasha, if you look in Vayigash, where it says in the Pasuk Vayayachazu Bo, Klal Yisrael took hold of Mitzrayim. Those were the days when Paroi was paying us before the Kehavoyas Perach. It was Perach. It started out, he paid us well. And Baruch Hashem, we are a talented people. Baruch Hashem gives us tremendous abilities. So we were excellent contractors for him. And the Yidden made a lot of money. So Vayayachazu Bo explains the Kliyokra means we didn't stay in Goshen, many of us. We moved out, we weren't comfortable. You know, wherever there's a yeshiva, usually it becomes more crowded. And the housing, they start building connected housing. And you don't have pools in the backyards anymore, you don't have the tremendous lawns. So you'd moved out of town, away from Goshen, to different neighborhoods, where they can have more aesthetics, enjoy it better. Vayayachazu Bo. So what happened was, in that last year of Golus Mitzrayim, when there was no more Shibud, and the Mitzrayim was so busy with their tzaras that they left us alone pretty much, we forgot the Shibud. And 4/5 of us didn't want to leave. We weren't interested in going out. So V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, 1 out of 5 adults between 20 and 60 left Mitzrayim. The other 4/5 were niftar never in Mitzrayim, because they weren't interested in going to Eretz Yisrael. So Kesh Baruch said, "You're not interested in going with me. You want to stay here in the beautiful houses with the pools in the backyard. You're worried about what you're going to have in Eretz Yisrael." So they ended up staying in Choshev. They were niftar, they were buried. So it wouldn't be a chil Hashem, the Mitzrayim wouldn't notice. You're going to wonder, what do you mean 4/5 of a nation is niftar and they're not going to notice? Yeah, because figure it out. Because the Chazal tell us, Lamaisa, only the adult population was niftar, the 20 and 60. So if there were 600,000 adult men who left Mitzrayim, and everyone had a wife, so 1,200,000 adults left Mitzrayim. But you had many children who were 19, 18, 17, right, under 20. And you had, so each family had a minimum of 6 children. So the 24 children of those 4/5 per each of the family, the 4/5, there were 6 children per family. So 4,800,000 adults were niftar. So that's 2,400,000 couples. So there was that many times 6 children. 2,400,000 times 6 children that went out of Mitzrayim. It says that every family adopted 4 families of children. Each family went out with at least 30 children. Each couple went out with at least 30 children. So there were almost 20 million people leaving Mitzrayim anyhow. So when there's 20 million, just picture the number. You can't. You can't picture 6 million. We can't picture what Hitler Yimach Shemai did. And he killed 12 million. 6 million Gentiles and 6 million Jews. It's impossible to picture. he just hated us so much that, that this teeny nation, Klal Yisrael, he took a toll on as much as all the other nations put together. But he didn't want anybody in this world but Aryans. That was his real goal. It was a purely selfish situation. But as far as Tzitzis Mitzrayim, so that's what happened in Tzitzis Mitzrayim. That 1/5 of the adult population wanted to go out and was zoichet to go out because they wanted to have a geula. In our day, if there are 13 million Yidden in the world, there's probably only about 1/5 that know about Shabbos, that know about Torah, that know about Kashrus and Taras HaMishavach. Only about 1/5. Now, I don't think they were in the same situation as Mitzrayim as far as the result of that, because the 4/5 by us who are not waiting for the Geula, who are not thinking about Mashiach, who don't say every day so many brachas and Shemayna Esrei for the Geula, it's not that they chose that. They have no idea in the world there is a Ribbono Shel Olam or what the Eibishter really is. They have no idea. I mentioned it here a few years ago. I had a very interesting experience sometimes on the way here from my yeshiva. This year I sat next to two ministers who were a group of ministers coming here to plant trees on Mount Carmel, they told me, because Israel is everybody's, and just like you have a love and a desire to be there, we all do, and they're coming here to hear a rabbi speak to them, and they asked me a lot of questions on the Old Testament, which Baruch Hashem I was able to clarify for them. They really didn't have any. No, just give you an example of the first question they asked me, which shows they had no idea how to read the Torah. The first question they asked me was if I could explain to them what it meant that Zipporah, the wife of Moses, took a certain blood and anointed Abraham to be the leader of the Jewish people. I said, wait a second. Abraham never saw Zipporah. It's just that if you read it chronologically, this never happened. I don't know where you got the information. But you're talking about our Torah, the Old Testament, never happened. The blood you're speaking about by Zipporah was from a circumcision. And she saved her husband's life with that blood. That was Moses. Abraham was way before. Moses and Abraham didn't see each other. Noah and Abraham saw each other. They saw each other. So they needed a lot of clarification. But I'm going back a few years ago, and I sat next to a Reform couple on the plane, and my way that I got from my Rebbeim is I generally don't daven shachris with a minyan on the plane, even though they make minyan. I daven in my seat, b'yachidus al tzchil Hashem. Because the ma'aseh again becomes daybreak about 2:30 in the morning, city time, New York time. The New Yorkers who got on that plane are fast asleep. Many are chilonim. The biggest chilul Hashem, says the Rambam, is for a fellow Jew. For a Gentile, it's also bad to make a chilul Hashem, but much more so for a Jew to be discouraged with a fellow Jew. So rather than walk in the aisles and knock those legs that are hanging over the, armrests while people are sleeping, because I want a damen shachar, is a damen in my seat. Happened to be that this group of Reformed Jews that were going with their rabbi also on one of these missions to Israel, they all stood up in their seats to daven shachris at about 2:30 in the morning together. The men and women all donning tefillin, all putting on yarmulkes to daven together. And I sat in my seat. And when my neighbors finished the prayers with their rabbi, who was also a female, in a talis and tefillin and yarmulke, who led the services for her congregation. No kidding, because you're laughing. I didn't laugh, honestly. Because they asked me when they sat down, are you angry at us, rabbi? I said, why would I be angry at you? Because you don't believe in what we're doing, that all praying together and women are wearing the tefillin. I said, I'm not angry at you. You're going to get a big reward in the world to come for what you did. Big. Because you're doing the best. You don't know better. Your rabbi doesn't know better. She's ready, who knows how many generations reformed. She goes to a certain seminary that tells her this is good. She's trying to be the best Jew she can be. You don't know real Judaism. So you can't. If I would do it, I would suffer. I'd be down in the hot places for that. Because I know better. But this is the best you know. You're going to get a big reward for this prayer that you prayed. You really meant it. So he said to me, if I could prove to him that I'm right. I said, I'll give you one proof. I said, give me your prayer book. I want to show you the difference between... But I didn't show him Shemoneh Esrei, which is so different. But Kiddush Levana. We have a tefillah with Beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kiddush Levana every month. We jump three times. And each time we say, Harini Reikate Kenegdech, I'm jumping toward you, Levana. No matter how high I jump, I can't reach you. I just can't touch you. Kach lo yuchlu kol oivay len goya bi l'ro. My enemies should not be able to touch me. That's how far Hashem should keep me from the enemy. We were able to see that many times here in Eretz Yisrael. Many times the Gizbarach has saved us miraculously. And we verse battle every month. We jump three times and we say there's something I can't reach you by jumping. My enemy shouldn't be able to reach me. And it's a tremendous distance that we can't reach the Levana. That's how Hashem should keep the enemies away from us. I said, you don't have it. Why don't you have it in your book? He said, first of all, we have a law. We don't change anything unless we are as great as the sages that put it together in wisdom and in numbers. So we don't play with our book. If this is the prayer, this is the prayer. And that's it. But your rabbis are taught that they can make surgery on a prayer book, on the Torah. Do keep Shabbos, don't keep Shabbos. Eat kosher, don't eat kosher. This one thing, why did you take it out? I'll tell you why you took it out. It went out in 1969. When Neil Armstrong, the first astronaut to land on the moon, came out of his spaceship, picked up moon rocks, put them in his spaceship, brought them back to Earth. Ah, we touched the moon. It says, I can't touch you. Out. And it was excised from the prayer book, taken out of the prayer book. So now you tell me, did Neil Armstrong touch the moon? If he would have taken off that grubby glove full of oxygen from Earth and put his hand on the moon, would he have had a hand left? Or would it have disintegrated without the atmosphere? Would he have lived, would he have survived opening just part of his spacesuit to the atmosphere of the moon? Probably not. He never touched the moon. His glove touched the moon. No human touched the moon. He was full of oxygen. He was with pipes connected to tanks, and he was walking like, you know. But it says, it's not your fault. The rabbis took it out of your book. You didn't even know about it ever existed. But that's what's going on in Reform Judaism. And you're doing your best. And that's all anybody can do is their best. So my point is, the Yidden in Mitzrayim who saw the Esser Makas and were not interested in going to Eretz Yisrael, that's a major downfall, Rahman al-Islam. But I believe that the four-fifths of Klai Yisrael that join us, they don't only have a geula. What's going to be the chiluk in them and us? The chiluk will be our tefillah every morning in Ahav Rav. After begging for success in Torah, that we should be zoicha to understand the value, the same b'libeinu bina, give us understanding how important it is, l'havinu l'haskil, to be able to learn and teach and uphold. And even if you don't want to be a teacher, you're a teacher. Just by living, you are a teacher. People look at you, whoever you are, and learn from you. You're a malamed. You ask for it, and you are. But at the end, what do we say? We want to proudly walk with Moshiach. That's going to be the chiluk. The one-fifth of us who are zoiche to be in a yeshiva like this, who are zoicha to learn Torah, to uphold the Torah, we're going to be zoicha to walk proudly and say, Mashiach, we brought you. We did it. Baruch Hashem. And the other four-fifths are going to follow along and beg to be taught how to join, how to do what's right. But as far as to me, it says Chemer is Mitzrayim, I see it. I see the numbers are similar. And we're waiting for the Oz Yosher Moshe. So how will that come about? So what I'd like to discuss in the time that you know that we have Bezer Hashem is that Cheirus, and it's a story that I heard from Rabbi Yitzchok Kirshner, it's a Kron Lebracha. He was a person who lived in first in California. He left over about 1,000 tapes, beautiful, magnificent Divrei Torah. He was Nifter when he was 42, Rahman al-Islam, very young, but left over 1,000 Shirin, maybe more than 1,000. And he moved late, in his later years to Borough Park, to Brooklyn. And he still had a Renaissance Center for a Kiruv in Manhattan that he ran. And when his Levaya, the Rachman Sufke Rebbe, so Zangas and Shlovim be well, said about him, he was one of the biggest Bala Nachshava in our generation. So he has a foundation, he says that Chelus comes from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always mirrors us, Hashem Tzilucho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. Whatever you do, the shadow does. It's similar to the Gemara Makkos that we might be so familiar with without knowing where it came from. But it's Gemara Makkos in the path that a person wants to take, Hashem God takes him in that path. We show HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we want by our actions. We discussed last year, if I'm not mistaken, the difference between the American expression "where there's a will, there's a way," which is not Yiddish. It's not true. Many people have tremendous will for something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will block you and won't let you. There are people who want all different kinds of things, even who are desperate to have children, and they want terribly, and they go to this and that and all different kinds, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that halavai, he should give them everybody halavai. But is their will tremendous? Major. Will they have scars if they had children after 120 years? Absolutely yes. Because we get scar for bechira. Hashem is the one who decides if we can carry out our bechira. So by the Yidden, our saying is, Ein dover ha'oymeid b'fnei ha'rotzim. Nothing stands in the way of will. Everybody can have the right desire. Our whole life is bechira, our choices. What we can accomplish with the choices? I want to know all of Shas. And Hashem didn't give me with the same mind somebody else has. But I'll plug away, I'm going to try. Maybe I'll only finish 10 Masechtas in a lifetime. But will I get schar for the whole Shas? Absolutely. Because through my actions, I showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu my will. Ein davar ha'ayin mifnei ha'rotzon. Nothing stands in the way of wanting the right things. Sometimes a parent blocks it for a while, and we can't move, we can't do certain things, whatever it might be, whatever it is, but nothing stands in the way of wanting the right things. Our full schar comes for the desire, and the Eibushter rewards us if we did it, if we have the right desire. Lav dafka, there's a will, there's a way. Many times there is. Many times the Eibushter opens up our mind and we could learn, and the Eibushter gives the children and gives the shidduch and gives the parnasa many times. But what if not? What if those people are collecting for themselves and they really try to work? Or I have a chaver who every year after Purim comes to the door, he has a gewaltig, a big job in a very good field, professional. But he has certain expenses of special education that cost him much more than the average parent in tuition. That's his chesed that the Eibushter gave him to do with his mishpacha. And he has to look for help from his chaverim every year to cover that. And the Eibushter wants this interaction. Is his will not to go to his friends to ask for money? Absolutely. He's embarrassed every time. I tell him every time, don't be embarrassed. The Eibushter writes in the Torah, Kula, Yechdal ho'evin yikerev ha'oretz. Until Mashiach comes, there will be poor people. And Hashem gives me, your parnasa, in my pocket, so that we should see each other and interact with each other. Don't be uncomfortable. So with his will, he doesn't have the way yet. He should. Hashem should give more parnasa. Of course we must bow for each other all the time. But the point is, his bechira is in the right place. So you get full schar. So cheirus, really, the Eibushter mirrors us. Hashem tzilucho. So the Eibushter guides us to the way to go. There was the pasuk brought down from Ishlei. Imla leitzin. If you want to be friendly with a bunch of jokers, that's who you want to have your friends. That's the kind of group you want to be with. And leitzim doesn't mean stand to make a good Yiddish joke. It means they make fun of serious things. They make fun of serious people. That's a leitzim. A leitzim is a scorner, not stam a joker. A sense of humor is a great thing to have. It's a very important thing to have, a good, healthy sense of humor. A leitzim is unhealthy. He makes fun of other people. He said that's what a leitzim is. A comedian generally is a leitzim. The secular comedians make fun. From the president down to the simplest person, they make fun. And people laugh at everything and everybody that does. It's very important in Yonah they laugh at. So we want to be close to the Leitzim. Who yalitz? The Eibushter will give this person who wants it the ability to make mitzvahs. So that he has bad friends and chas v'shalom. That's the way he wants to go. V'la anovim. What if you want to be close to anovim, to humble people? Yitin chay. The Eibushter will give you charm. They're going to like you. They'll take you into their group. Depends what you want to do. Hashem tzilcho. So if we behave with cheirus, the Eibushter will give us cheirus. How do we see it in these parashiyos of Sefer HaGeulah? How do we see it? So let's start with the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, before we actually saw the downfall of Paroi and Mitzrayim in the ensuing parts of Parshas Bo and in Parshas Meshalach at the end. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us this month, Kazera Eva Kadesh, but it says Lachem, it's yours. You will have a lunar calendar. The rest of the world has a solar calendar. What's the difference between a moon and a sun? The moon is forever changing. The sun never changes. It's constant since the day of its creation. It's constant, 24 hours a day, and all the days of the month. The sun never goes through change. The moon has phases. Depending on its direction towards the sun, there are different phases of the moon. And the moon sometimes is totally invisible in the sky, and then it comes back again. That's Klal Yisrael. The Eibishter created us with aliyos and yiridos. It's part of life. And the test of life is not to stay down, to get up again and get back into that ring, fight the Yetzer Hara once again. We are a people with hizchashus. We can renew ourselves like the Levona does. As long as we face the sun. The sun represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, represents the Torah. Compares the Torah to the Shemesh in the previous pasuk on Sechus Melodavid on Shabbos morning. As long as we are towards the sun, which really is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but our closest ability to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the Torah creation. So we can always renew ourselves. We have that Kerech of Hizchashus, Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we see it in Esav. That's what Golos is. Golos is when Esav has the Hizchashus. Not only Esav physically, in that he has certain abilities, that he gets Chidushim, he creates new technology, industrial revolution. It's borrowed from Klal Yisrael. It's really all from what happened by the Birchas Yitzchak in Parshas Torah. If you pay attention to the Loshen over there, when Yaakov Avinu left and Esav comes in, and all of a sudden Yitzchak realizes, oh my goodness, he felt Gehenna coming. Now he had told Esav earlier that day, bring me the food that I love so I can give you a bracha. How could a tzaddik love food? I guarantee you, in this yeshiva, you never heard any of your Rosh Yeshivas say, I love sushi or I love pizza. They might say, I enjoy it, I like it. But love, you don't hear Torah people loving foolishness. You know, if food is not foolish, we need to get to live with it. But the bread and butter and a cup of coffee will help you just as much to give you energy. You don't need shawarma and sushi and pizza for that. So you're not going to hear people who are steeped in Torah saying, I love pizza. Or I like it, it's good. I want to bring me a piece of that pizza. I like it. Yitzchak said, I love. He says, bring me the Natama Kasher Ahavti that I loved, because Yitzchak, my Rebbe has a whole Torah on this in his Sefer, Rivka was protecting her husband. She didn't want him to have Akmas Nefesh, knowing who Esav really was. He was blind, he was home learning at home, Yitzchak. And Rivka had to go out among the people. She heard all the Lashon Hara about her son, and the people told him Lashem Shemayim, how he was behaving, and when the Zorah Gila Roish Vichas Domen. So when Esav would come home, she knew, like I said before, that a tzaddik feels the vibrations, the energy of everything. So she wouldn't let him bring in his food. She would tell him, Esav, you're sweating, you just went hunting a whole day. Go wash yourself up, change your clothes. I'll prepare it for you. And she would dump whatever he hunted. She would take her own animal that she brought with her from home, nichsim alug that she had. She would shecht it, she'd prepare it, and she gave it to Esav. Here, now you can bring it in. When he came back, when Yitzchak ate this, he felt like davening. He felt like learning. When you eat food that's glad kosher and it comes from a good source, like chef that have a good brain, he thought about Torah, he thought about mitzvahs, you know, all this has a tremendous effect on a person. So, but this day, when Rivka heard that Yitzchak says to Esav, bring me that food that I love, I want to give you a bracha. She says, oh boy, I did a great job. My husband really thinks he's a tzaddik. He's going to support Yaakov. He's going to give him the Zvulun Bracha and he'll support his brother. I know better. I've been fooling him all these years. Not tonight. So she gave Yaakov the food to bring it to Yitzchak. He brought it in. And Yitzchak is confused. I mean, he feels like Esav. He speaks like Yaakov. The food is what I'm expecting. He gives the Bracha. Yaakov goes out. Esav comes in. Meanwhile, Esav comes home late, as the Medrash tells us. He couldn't hunt. He couldn't catch. Hashem didn't let him. Oh, mommy, help me, please, please tell you after the room, because I'm late. I was waiting, I gotta change my clothes, I'm all smelly from the whole day, please. No, he said, I can't. You're late, I'm busy tonight, I just can't. Of all nights, you have to. I can't. Esav had to bring in his own food. The Echad Chorot HaGadoyla, Zok Rashi. What was that Chorot HaGadoyla from? How come he trembled? He felt Gehenim come in, says Rashi. All of a sudden, he felt Gehenim come in, first time. And he doesn't know what's going on here. So what is Loshen Yitzchok says? He says, Mi Eifoy had Sod Sayyid Bahavei. Who was that? Who captured some food and brought it to me before you got here? Gamboruch here. Keep the bracha. Whoever, that's what I meant. Asher Ahavti. That's the food that I loved. Whoever that was, keep the bracha. Says of screams. Habracha achas yesh lechavi. Only one bracha. Esav had a good side to him. He had a munas chachamim. He believed in the bracha of his father. So what does his father tell him? I can't. You don't understand. Have a gvir samtiloch. I made him a gvir. I made him your balad boss. You're his evet. Whatever you have is his. What kind of bracha can I give you? You're an evet to your brother. I made him a gvir of you. That's what I said. That's what Paul the bracha lachol. Have a gvir lachechol. That was Paul the bracha. So I'll tell you what. Vayikasher torid uferakto ulim al sabarecha. Rashi explains the reason Yaakov got the bracha over Esau is because Esav would abuse it. What would Esav do with all that money? Pasha Pshat in the bracha. You are looking at the Medrash, so it's all Ruchnius. But Pasha Pshat Gashmius, Esav would make another casino, another theater, another secular newspaper, all kinds of taivos. That's what he'd make. Another vacation land with a beach. Another priestess take a thing. No, that's what he would do. So says Yitzchak to the Esav, but if he goes down, and chas v'sholom, he uses the money for what you would do with it. Ufarak tu'ulam yatsav arecho. Temporarily, you'll borrow that is chashus. You'll get then for temporarily until he does tshuva, you'll get it back. And that's the seesaw. So it says that he screamed a tremendous scream. He was so broken, Esav, about not getting a bracha from his father. So Taka, where do we see the same exact lashon in the Megillah? When Haman made his decree. But he said, G'dayla Umara. Why? Because that was the time that we did what Esav would do with the money. We were told by the God Lador, don't go to Achashverosh's party. Don't. And we said, it's not politically sound not to go. He's making it mamish spitz, kosher for Yidu. You're going to have the best texture on the meat. You're going to have yayin mevushal. You're going to have toivold kalim, dishes and cups. Not only that, it's better than the chassidim and steves. Chassidim make a mechitza. They make a different room for men and women. Gam vashti hamalka osim mishtei noshim. She made a separate party for the ladies in a different building. I mean, how much more steves could you have than that? Vashti over there, chashverish over there. I mean, how can we not go? They're making better than the Hasidim make. They're making a simcha for us. And Amorecha said, Avapi can't go. We didn't listen. So, Haman got koyach. We did tshuva, v'nahapachu overnight. Overnight. We have a tremendous koyach of eschatshus, and it's really our koyach. Just they borrow it. They borrow it. So we see eschatshus from the beginning to the end. The Geula starts HaChodesh Alchem Rosh Chodesh. You are a lunar people. It's yours. Then we see his Chachus, Matan Torah. The second chelik of the Geula in the Torah, in this Chumash. Why did that Matan Torah for the Geula? Because imagine a free people who are physically free. Vayar Yisrael as Mitzrayim Meis Lasfas Hayom. We saw Mitzrayim dead. So we're physically free. But spiritually, where do we go? Lamaisa. We had a tremendous hashpah in us from Mitzrayim. We were meant to share it mentally, although not physically. Physically, in 210 years, it's amazing to think about it. You know, if there were so many millions of Yidden, tens of millions of Yidden in Mitzrayim just before the Geula, even though Nebuchadnezzar, somebody would niftar, but before the Ptira, there were tens of millions of Yidden at least 25 million Yidden. In Mitzrayim, before the Geula, over 210 years, there were millions and millions and millions of Yidden. Not one was over an immoral act. The Medrash tells us in Parashas Emor, Achas Hoisu Upirsim HaKosuv. One woman in the entire 210 years ended up in a Mises noose, and it was involuntary. The man was Ma'anasir, the Mitzri. She gave birth to the Megadev, who pierced the Mahakosuv. And the Pasuk advertises how this happened to her. It calls her Shloimis Bas Divri. And Rashi says, Shloimis, she was saying shalom to all the men besides her husband. She was very friendly to other men. Bas Divri, Dabranis Hayesu. She was a chatterbox. She spoke to all men besides her husband. I know that one of my sons got a job in the diamond district in Manhattan. So it's a very big firm. They have a big shop of people cut and polished diamonds. They sell, they buy. There's a lot going on. They have a lot of different things in their company. But his orientation, the first day of the job, they said to him, and you have to choose a title for yourself. Are you Mr. Finkelman or Rabbi Finkelman? Because here, this is not a place that the men and women are friends with each other. Everybody has their wife, women have their husbands. This is business. Every woman here is either Mrs. Rebbetzin or Miss. And every man is either Rabbi or Mr. No first names. So choose your title. As they told him the first day of the job here. Big place, a lot of people, a lot of men, a lot of women. But there's no first names. Because they don't want to get too friendly. That's what happened to Shlomis Bas Divri. She was friendly to men who weren't her husband. She's the only one, though. Imagine how tahor we were. 210 years in Mitzrayim, only one woman. Not one man did an immoral act. Not one man. What a doyer. The doyerais, 210 years. What doyerais Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim. It's unbelievable. Without Torah, the chas v'shalom can end up like the rest of the world. That people are marching around for equal rights. That's one of the questions that they asked me, these ministers on the plane. What do I think about equal rights? I said, I'm all for it. They looked stunned. These two of them, what? I thought religious Jews are against it. I said, well, what do you call equal rights? Now what do politicians call equal rights? I said to them, I really care about these people. I said, every drug addict in America, if he wants to detox, he wants to get rid of drugs, the American government will offer him funding, psychiatric care, medication, whatever he needs. The government's going to help him out. Any gambler wants to get some help. He's ruining his whole family life. The government's going to help him out. I think these people deserve equal rights. They should have free psychiatric care. They shouldn't have to live this life that they live. Instead of legalizing it and telling them you can get married to each other, tell them, no, don't destroy yourselves. How can we care about the drug addicts? They shouldn't commit suicide by taking drugs. And the gamblers shouldn't destroy their families by gambling. And we don't care about these people who are living perverted lives. I believe in real equal rights. Treat them equally. Care about them. Give them free help. They shouldn't live there for the rest of their life. Don't give them legalization. Don't say, I give up on you. Be a sinful person the rest of your life. And then you go die and face the music. Why do that to them? Ooh. This man, well, next to me, the really was a man, it was a female minister, two female ministers, the whole, they also have their things. You know, galochim, a female, not nuns. You know, they also takes out a book and writes down what I said. I said, could you please sign this for me? I want to remember your name. Who told us, I never thought of this before. Why don't you think of it? You're a minister. I didn't say that. But I mean, what? You think it's okay? You're a Bible person. Don't you understand what equal rights really is? Care about these people if you care equally about everybody. Don't give up on them. But that's what we do. It's mishugas, and we get used to it. Because we live in it, and we hear about it, and we get used to certain ideas that you're not allowed to get used to. They get used to these ideas. So that's the Torah. The second is chachos. There was so much is chachos in the Torah. And b'chol yom yibenecha kadoshim. It should be like a chadosh in your eyes. And of course, the Mishkan was full of his chachos. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Mishkan as an answer to the Egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that we met L'Shem Shemayim with the Egel. Adam the Erev Rav got mixed in and made us confused and made us make an Egel in the end. But what do we want with the Egel? We wanted L'Shem Shemayim. We wanted we thought we lost Moshe Rabbeinu. So we wanted to have something to show us the presence of Hashem in a miraculous way that we should always be attached to Hashem. So a walking, talking piece of gold, that would like shock us continuously to remember Hashem is among us. Hashem did one thing. So Hashem showed us an Arnish for the Egel, and then right away gave us the Mishkan. You come to the Mishkan. You see a human being like yourself doing the Avodah. You look at the Koyein, the Gengolos, the Helix, the Neshama, and on Yom Kippur, on the holiest day, he can go to the holiest place. That's what you have to come and see. and you get inspired, and you realize the Eibush is there, because Yischachus lechem aponim. It was as fresh the day it was taken off, 7 days after it was baked, as the day it was baked. That's Yischachus. So the Eibush, the whole Sefer HaGeula, is all about Cheirus. Cheirus is the ability to say no. Adirabba, the first thing that says Adibrais, analyze it, is according to the Ziv Sholem, the way he brings it down a few times in the Sefer. He says there's two things here. First of all, Anoichi Hashem, I'm the Eibushta of the whole world. The Eibushta is the Eibushta of all the world. The Goyim also have Zion Mitzvahs, and they have to keep it. And like I told these people, one thing I didn't want to explain to them, they asked me about the Old Testament, different questions. When they asked me about how come we don't recognize their Messiah, I said, that I will not answer for you. Why not? I said, because it's going to confuse you. I have a very powerful answer. And your ministers, your whole life is based on believing in him. And we believe that Gentiles like yourselves, who are religious and God-fearing and good people, you have a future. I quote the Pasuk in Yeshaya for them. That except for Amalek, I told them, the Amalekites, they will be eradicated, they'll be annihilated, they'll be gone. Because they are just evil. But all the rest of the Gentiles are going to flow upstream against the regular stream of the world. That's against the stream. All the Gentiles are going to flow towards the temple and want to serve Hashem. There's a place for you. So I don't want to confuse you. Because, you know, it's just not, I don't think it's a healthy thing. Really, I have an ulterior motive also. Not just not to confuse them, but I learned from Rabbi Uri Zohar, when I heard him speak about his experience, how he became a Baal Tshuva. So he said his first reaction, when the Rav proved to him Torah Misinai, was to hate the Frum Yom. He said, I promised myself I'll never go to such a rabbi again. Because he made me feel I lived a lie. Because I believed him. He was right. He proved to me Torah Misinai. So he made me feel I'm living a lie by not being religious. So I hated him. I finally understood why people hate the Charedim. You know, because it's very uncomfortable to feel you're not living right. You have one or two reactions. Either you give in and you do what she said. Ultimately, he said, I don't get it. He said, I said to myself, I lived a lie 45 years. I shall live a lie 45 more years. That's how I heard him say it. You know, he spoke. It's in his book also. I don't know how he writes it, though. But exactly the words I don't remember. I have a book at home, but I don't remember how he writes it. But I heard him say it. So I became a Baal Tshuva. And today he's a fantastic big Makar for Chaykin and Nagi Shir today. But initially, it was Sina. And ulterior, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, if I really touch them with the Hezber, they might hate the Yidden. Right now, they're very much in favor of us. Oh, they say they need rabbis like me to help them. They really see that they need the Jewish rabbis to understand the Testament. They really need it. You know, as I tell them that, I'm not going to answer you. That far, we're not going to go. But we understand that these are all part of the Siyanis. So what's the basis of our Hischachus? The basis is the Pasuk in Kehelas. I realize that I'm over time. I guess I'll go through the whole shot with you. I'll go through this. One more raya and we'll wrap up. It's from the Pasuk in Kehelas, Ein kol chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. We say it every day in Tefillah. Hamachadesh b'tuvay b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews every day continuously the ma'aseh v'reishis. We're breathing right now because the Eibushta continues the Asar HaMamoris. Continuously. So that's why the world continues. It's the same beautiful world the Eibushta made in v'reishis. People may abuse the world, but the world is the same gorgeous world. It does not change. That's Tachas HaShemesh. But lemala min hashemesh, there is chidush. The lemala means in ruchnius. In physicality, there's no chidush. Whatever there was is, and there's no news. Either could take what there is and, with new technology, create new things, but it's still the same world. It's not a chidush. But lemala min hashemesh, in ruchnius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avraham Avinu lemala and said, look down at the stars. You're afraid you can't have children. You know, that Lu Yishmo Yichel Lefanecho. But you don't understand. Yes, there are mazolos. There's a zodiac. And people are born under a certain mazol. But a mazol Yisroel. For people who live Lamalam in Hateva, Teva changes for them. Teva changes. You know, that we see it too, the veil lifts. Every one of us must know certain stories where it was the Malam and Teva, where the doctor said that was a miracle, I can't believe it happened. Or what I witnessed, you know, too young to know about it, in the Iraqi War 1991. It's another thing I mentioned to these ministers, because they mentioned to me about, you know, the supernatural existence of Klal Yisrael, which Mark Twain writes about. So I said, it continues today. We are not lacking those miracles today. And they were older than I, these two people. So I told them, if you remember the Iraqi War, it was a tragedy for America that Saddam Hussein, Yimach Shemoy, he sent one Scud to Saudi Arabia, where the Americans had an air base. Direct hit on a building, and then about 28 American soldiers perished in a moment. But he sent 39 Scuds into Israel. 39. From the beginning of the war, January 16th, until Hannes Esther, when it ended. 39. And they made direct hits, and certain buildings went, not all 39, but enough. Buildings were flattened. I was in Eretz Yisrael soon afterwards, and I went to see those buildings. Buildings of, like all these buildings, stone and steel, and they were occupied fully. The people were told, when there's an air raid, run into your sealed rooms, because Iraq was threatening chemical warfare, which is, everyone had to have a sealed room to run into when there was a siren, so they shouldn't breathe the air outside. And the buildings went down, babies in cribs, elderly people, four-story buildings, flattened to the ground. And there are pictures of it. Yeshua Torah put out a publication called Missiles, Masks, and Miracles, with photographs, post-explosion photographs of people getting up from the rubble. No one died, not one person. One person was killed from shrapnel that lodged into him. Rahman al-Islam from a Scud. That was the only death from the Scuds. One. I told these people, but it's a tragedy to us, one death. We were broken from that one death. But it's unbelievable. Lamaisa, it's unbelievable. 39 Scuds, so many houses destroyed. People walked ambulances, you saw the pictures that the Eshet Torah put out. There were ambulances coming to get people who had broken arms, who were bleeding. But no one died. It was half of a fella, fourth story to the ground floor, with all that heavy debris, and people walked out of it. It's tremendous, because if we live l'malam in ha'teva, and that's really what you accomplish. You know, Yisrael is not nigal yet. It's not redeemed yet. It's the holiest place in the world. But we know there's a lot of tumah here as well, Nebuch. There's a lot of confusion here with a lot of the Yidden. They're good people, they're Yidden. They don't know better. They're also third, fourth generation, you know, anti-Torah, as one soldier said to me at the Maris HaMachpelah. I was the only Kohen on that particular tour, so I was alone davening outside. And he got into a conversation with me, and he got very upset because I was telling him the truth in answer to his questions, and it was upsetting him. So finally, he got very upset, and he says to me in Ivrit, "What do you want from me?" He said, "I was born 3 years after the Yom Kippur War. That was 1976, in the Golan, in a Chiloni kibbutz, and I was taught to hate you and your Torah. So what do you want?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "I love you anyhow. I understand you hate me. I have no problem with it. I would hate me too if I was raised like you. You know, I understand you. I must understand. I was walking past the house, and a kid was on the porch. She screamed down at me, 'Dati, Dati.' I looked up at her. I wasn't angry at him. I just felt sorry for him. He doesn't know that we're brothers and that we love each other and that I have no problem with him. I dab with him, hashiveinu every day." And I wish the people should do tshuva. I understand this soldier. It's not his fault. I asked him, I said, "All I want from you is the next time you go to the Kotel, turn around, look up. You're going to see a sign on a building, Eisha Torah." I said, "Go up there, go up the steps, go into that Beit Midrash," I told him. "Bang on the bima, and announce, 'Ani Yehudi, ve'ein ani yodeh amazeh Yehudi.' I don't know what a Jew is. I'll tell you why would you do this." Not because you want to learn Torah, because he told me how much he hates being a soldier here in the country. He was offering me a lot of extra money to get my ticket and leave the country instead of me. You know, I have to go back to yeshiva. So I said to him, "If you would know what a Jew is, you would love what you're doing. You would understand what you're protecting. But you don't know who you are. That's all I want from you. Find out what is a Jew. Know who you are. It's the most beautiful thing. But for a people who are the Malah, so you are the Malah in Hashemesh, a Bacher,
or an avreich who sits in a yeshiva, instead of running after money and fun and excitement, that's most of the world is doing. Most of our world, 4/5 of our brothers and sisters who don't know Torah, are searching for good times, for enjoyment, for pleasure, or for purpose in life, and finding other religions sometimes of Mohammed Islam, because they don't know where to look. But it's the Malam, but that's natural. Wanting excitement and fun is natural. And what are you doing? You're spending all day, I'll be having pleasure in it. And if you're not yet, you will have pleasure in it. It comes. Skol Yerbs, a great tzaddik, told it to Machaver and myself when we were teenagers, 17 years old. And Machaver said to him, I want a bracha for a cheshek and learning. He smiled. A great tzaddik from the previous generation. At that time, he was almost 80 years old. He survived the war. And he said to us, he says, you know, people come in, they ask for a bracha for parnosa, we give a bracha. It happens, they bracha get parnosa. For a bracha for health, bracha Hashem, people get healthy. Different things he went through, that bracha, the brachas of tzaddikim work, tzaddikim work, bracha makayim. He said, but Torah? He says, Torah is the biggest thing in the world. You can't get it cheaply for a blessing, you get Torah. Torah you have to work for, he said to us. Learn without a cheshek. Learn without desire, the desire will come. The Eibush will open up your heart. I don't say Dafka, you'll understand it as well as the next person, but Ahava, a person will get. But it's still the Malam and Ateva. So for a people, the Malam and Ateva, Eretz Yisrael has Baruch Hashem so much Torah. And there is so much tshuva going on here. There really is. That the Eibush in that Zuchus protects the whole country. In a Lamalam and Derech Ateva, take away. In a tremendous way. And I just want to end by explaining that Kurzner is Madaik. I think he says, is this from Chaim Shmulevitz? I believe he says this, Pshat. There's really so much to say, but we'll just. Yes, yeah, so I think it's from Chaim Shmulevitz. He says, if you look back in Mishach, the beginning of the Hischachus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us, Lamal Min HaTeva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us that we should go backwards. Lefnei piachirais, right? Lefnei bal tzvoim. We should go back and parim. We'll say mevuchim heim ba'aretz. We're lost. Sogar aleihem hamidbar and he'll attack us. Now that's suicidal. Why would we gotta go backwards into Paro's arms? But we did it. And then Paro comes after us, and the yam is in front of us, and Paro's behind us. And the Medrash says to make it worse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put wild animals on the right, Nechoshen v'akrabim on the left, and we were mamish stuck. And the Medrash says that's the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yonosi b'chag v'hasela. My dove was in the enclosure of a rock. That is like a picture of a dove. We are compared to a dove because a dove is the only bird loyal to its mate. And Klal Yisrael is loyal to Hashem, come what may. We stay loyal to Hashem. So compared to a yoinu. So the raven is after the yoinu, the Medrash says. So the yoinu looks for a place to hide. It jumps into a rock, into a cleft, a crack in the rock. But it realizes all of a sudden that it's surrounded by the rock on three sides, and the raven is in front of it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the next pasuk, Harini es marayich, hashmini es kolich, ki kolich orev, umarich nove. In other words, I'll save you. I want to see that you're devoted. I want to hear your voice. So we start out crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now is not a time to daven. The davening is good, but I want to see action. So we do the Malam Mederech HaTeva. And the only place to go is in the water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that. So Nachash Ben Arunav leads us, and we go into the water, and the water splits. So Oz Yosher Moshe, at the end of it all, Moshe Rabbeinu sings. Says the Medrash, Nochon Kisacho Me'oz. The first person to sing a real Shira was Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that called a real Shira? So if we look in Gemara, there's Gemara Sanhedrin about Ruv Chadnetzar, Melech Bovel. When he saw Hanai Mishol Vazariah, who he threw into this tremendous fire because they wouldn't bow down to his statue, he's sort of walking around like it's an air-conditioned room. Nothing happening to them. They weren't melting in the fire. And then, at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Yecheskel HaNavi to reawaken the Tzomas HaYaveshois from the Ephraim, those who tried to, after the Maisa with the Meraglim, trying to, on their own, go to Eretz Yisrael. So their skeletons were laying for the longest time, unburied. So Yechezkel was told to go and bring them back to life, and they all came back to Bikas Dura, to that valley where they were, where Nebuchadnezzar had his statue. Nebuchadnezzar saw this and saw that. He began to sing songs to Hashem of the unbelievable koyach of Hashem, the Eved of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, it threatened to overshadow David HaMelech's Tehillim. Says the Gemara, story al pi. So the Eved sent a malach to smack the Nebuchadnezzar on his mouth, and he started to curse. So Yaakov Galinsky here from Bnei Brak, Shalita, he asked on that Gemara, why did Eved do that? Is it bad to have a song from a goy if it's more beautiful than David HaMelech's Tehillim? What's wrong? So he says, it's not pshat in the Gemara. Pshat in the Gemara is, the Eved said, it's wonderful, you're singing when you see a miracle. You see dead bodies come to life. You see Yidden walking around in a fire as if it's an air-conditioned room. But David HaMelech sang to me even when he had tzaris. Can you sing to me when your mouth stings? When something hurts? He started to curse. I don't need you to heal him. If you can only sing when it's good, that's not what I want. I need lahagid ba'boker chazdecha ve'munoska ba'levus. That's what the Eibishter wants him to heal him. So Oz Yashir Moshe explains the Medrash, Noche Kesacha Me'oz, your throne became solidified when Moshe Rabbeinu sang Oz Yashir. He was singing about the Oz. The Oz in the end of Parsha Shmois, when he came out of Parai, out of asking that Hashem should let Klal Yisrael go out, and Eibishter promised Moshe Rabbeinu that the Yidden will go out of Mitzrayim. And Parai makes the Shibbut harder. Nir Pematem, you're lazy. I'll take away the straw, let you pick up your own straw. Says Moshe Rabbeinu and the Pasha Shmais, Lama Hari Ois Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shalach Toni, Kimei Oz Bosi Al Paroi, Oz. From that moment that I came to Paroi, things got worse. But at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu sang Oz Yashir Moshe. He sang about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was wrong. It wasn't a tzara, it was a toivah. What was the toivah? Asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. What was the toivah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have a time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Klai should have a time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You told us to go backwards. You put us in such a matzah, and then you saved us. Why did you put us in the matzah? Why did you put us in the matzah? So the matzah was a siba to bring out about the nes. No. That's not what it says. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized, no, the nes was the matzah to create the siba. The Eibishter wanted to show us that we are the Malah Yederach HaTeva. But the Eibishter wanted us to know that Lamal B'derech HaTeva is for people who are Lamal B'na Shemesh, who do things that are above Teva, who have self-control when other people don't, who are not. And that's the last shot in that pasuk. Anoichi Hashem, I'm the Eibishter of all the people, but Alekecho, as Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, you're my chosen nation. I'm specifically yours. Not I created the whole world, that's everybody's. But I took you out of Mitzrayim, me Beis Avodim. But Mitzrayim was one big house of slavery, not the Yidden. We were the only B'nai Chayim. We were the only free people in Mitzrayim. Because we didn't change our names. We didn't change our manner of speech. We didn't change our tznius, our clothing. We didn't give in to the Mitzrayim, even if we were physically slaves. But spiritually, we didn't give in. We said no. They were addicts. It was Ervasa Oretz. They were running and running after immorality. They were slaves. They couldn't live on that internet, whatever they had in their days that was equal to today's internet. It was called Ervas HaOretz. It was the seat of the morality of the world. Beis Avodim, I took you out of a people of slavery because you were not slaves. The ones who were zoich to go out of Mitzrayim, Lashinu es Lashonam, Lashinu es Shmam, Lashinu es Mabusham. What do we see though? So in other words, the Sibo, the Abish, I wanted to show you the Nes, so I made it Tzara. So Moshe Rabbeinu sang about the Tzara. Now he understood the Tzara. Oz Yashe Moshe, Noche Kesachem Eyoz. Now, that was unusual Shira, that a person should sing about their Tzara and be makir the Tzara. That was what it taught us. That was the unusual thing. So in other words, Chelus is a state of mind. Anybody who reads the Holocaust diaries that people write that are printed by different Yiddish publishers, you see how the Yidden were not slaves to the Nazis. We were enslaved physically, but they tried to make a menorah, and they tried to make a shofar, and they tried to have pieces of a siddur and trade tefillin. It was half a befella. I'll just show you one unbelievable story from the Lujavareva. There's a book, guys, there's a book all about his stories. It's called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. This story appears in two different books, this particular story. And I heard it from Abayi Nosson Sherman. I heard him say it verbally. He heard it from Mr. Halprin, the one it happened with. It was a Yid from Lujan Beis Medrash, going back 30 years ago, probably. But no, it can't be 30 years yet, because the communism didn't fall that long ago. So it's more like, you know, 23 years ago or whatever, that when communism fell and Hungary was now open to visit, this man, Mr. Halprin, went back to Kivrei Avos. He wanted to go visit the graves of his ancestors in Hungary. So he came back to Blushev, to his Rebbe, in Borough Park. He was then alive still, the Blushev who survived the war. And I said to him, when I was in Hungary, I was in the shul there, I met a Yid. He asked him, where I said, I'm from Brooklyn. He said, you know the Blushev Rebbe? I said, yeah, I daven by him. How should I brought this? He said, give the Rebbe a gosh from so-and-so and tell him, I'm still Shemit HaRemesis. So Mr. Halpern asked the Blushev Rebbe, what's the story? What does he mean by that? I'm still Shemit HaRemesis. So he said, the Blushev Rebbe, I'll tell you the story. We were in the camps, and the Yidin used to ask me, as the Rebbe all the time, used to ask him to help them with various ways to serve Hashem. They wanted to have tefillin, they wanted to have Shabbos. They, you know, there are so many stories. You could read the book, you'll see a lot of the stories. But this particular story was, they asked him, Hanukkah's coming, we want to have a menorah. We want to have a menorah. He said, always, I begged them, leave me alone. Don't ask me these things. They want to kill us. They catch us doing anything, they're going to shoot us dead. We got to try to survive. Leave me alone with a menorah. He always tried to discourage them. No, we want a menorah. So whenever they pushed him, he did whatever they wanted. He tried for his people. So he got the men who worked with machines to get him caps from the oil cans to make nine, you know, things for wicks and oil. Caps upside down to glue them to something. They gave him oil, because any oil, any wick is kosher for Hanukkah, right? That's the halacha. Psilus v'shmanim. The wicks and the shmanim. Psilus v'shmanim are a puzzle for Shabbos, because we might end up, chas v'shalom, playing around with it to make the light good, but they're kosher for Hanukkah. So they got wicks from the ladies who made uniforms for the prisoners. They got threads from those women who were working with the uniforms. They got oil and the tops of the oil cans from the machine workers. And the Rebbe put together a menorah. And the Rebbe told this Mr. Halperin, 1,000 yidden gathered together for the first Hanukkah lechtel. 1,000 yidden, men, women, and children. And it was under the danger of being caught and being, you know, machine guns. And very quietly, I made the three brachas. And one answered, Amen. We whispered her neighbors, Halolu, and they ran for the barracks. And I stayed, I would stay for the 30 minutes, you know, till to put out the menorah. It should light for 30, the halacha should light for 30 minutes. One Yid stayed behind. This person that you met. He was a communist anti-Semite. He was a Jew. But he was irreligious, and he was a communist, and he hated the Frumidin. But he came, he heard Zuchanek Menorah, he was curious, he also came. And he waited till the end, and he said to me, Rabbi, when I was young, I learned in yeshiva. I was religious. And I know that you made a bracha levatola. So I asked him, a bracha levatola. He said, you had to make l'hadak ne'er shel Chanukah because you lived in Eretz. You had to show us nizm l'aveseinu, that's the pierce of my nez. But Shechianu, how could you say Shechianu in a place like this? Every one of us who came here tonight for this Hanukkah lighting was in danger of being killed. You really mean it? I thank you, Hashem. Shechianu, this is what you like, this is what you want. Yeah, thank you, Hashem. Bracha levatola. I challenge you. So Blushev said, I answered him. I told him, every year till the concentration camp, I was home with my family. Nebuchadnezzar, before the war, he had a wife and 7 children. He left the war alone. Really, in the war stuff, he lost 2 children and his wife in the war. The first 5, the other 5, Nebuchadnezzar died before the war of unusual things. It was a very, very sad, he had a very sad, but he remarried after the war. But Nebuchadnezzar ended up after the war alone. So he told this, he said, I told this Yid, who you met in Hungary, that every year I made the brachas, I was talking about excited, brach Hashem, Zoichen, Chanukah left again. But it didn't compare to my bracha tonight. This was the biggest Shechianu I ever made. Do you think I ever thought I would live to see 1,000 men, women, and children sacrifice their lives for a mitzvah de rabbanon because they love Hashem. I was so moved. I never made a bigger shachianu in my life. He says, "What's bracha l'talos?" It was the biggest bracha I ever made in my life. I said, I can't believe it to this minute that 1,000 people came here under machine gun. They know what would happen if they're caught. But they want to do the mitzvah d'rabbanon of lighting Chanukah, the malam in Ateva. But you're malam in Ateva every day. These great things are, of course, we understand the malam in Ateva in these great things, like being Moshe Nefesh Mamish. But Moshe Nefesh translate the right way. But Rebbe Rav Wolfson always reminds us, Nefesh means Rotzoy. That's what it means. The reason we think about Moshe Nefesh, that we give our life, is because the biggest Rotzoy is I want to live. It's the biggest Rotzoy. Is the instinct of wanting to live. But if you want to do anything and you give it up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the Bachim I met on this trip, I told him that I tell over his story a lot of places that I go, but I never say his name. He shouldn't be embarrassed. I just met him last week at my first day here, one of my stops, one of the yeshivas. I'll tell you, giving up Rotzoy. This is a Bachim who, through high school, was in co-ed schools. And accordingly, there are certain things you do in co-ed schools, and it's understood. So he comes to camp every summer, and he comes to all the different times I give a vat, he comes. And I don't know what it does to him, it doesn't do to him. You know, I never know. You know, I wish he should do something for me. I'm very satisfied. But in any case, he calls me up last year, Erev Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the last Thursday in November. He calls me up Wednesday before Thanksgiving. He said, "I have to ask you a question." "Yeah." "You know, I come always to all the Vadin, and this summer I promised myself I'm never watching a movie again. That's it. I'm done with the movies. So since June 29th, when camp started, until today, Erev Thanksgiving, I think it was November 23rd that year, last year, I think so, I haven't seen a movie. Not at home, not on my iPod, not in the theater. My father came home last night from work. He announced to the family, 'Good news, everybody. I'm not going to work on Thanksgiving.' So I bought for everybody tickets to Harry Potter. We're going together to the new Harry Potter movie. And then we're going out to Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant near the theater." So I told my father, "Dad, you mind if I don't go to the film?" My father said, "Yeah, I mind very much. You know you love Harry Potter. You know you enjoyed all the other ones. You'll enjoy this one too. Of course you gotta come along. I bought your tickets, expensive. And it had just come out. It wasn't in all the theaters yet." So he called me up. "What do I do?" So I told him, "I don't know the mitzius of Harry Potter. I don't know the mitzius. I can't answer the Shiloh. You have to help me out." I said, "Are there females in this movie?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Do they dafka take fat old women in loose clothes with no makeup? They should be mamish repulsive to the audience. That's the kind of women you have in the movie?" He said, no, of course not, Rabbi. Of course not. And even then, it's not so bullshit. His stock was a store. So. Anyhow, but okay, I can understand it. I said, "Well, if not, some stomach is in voice assume. They probably try to attract the audience to enjoy what they're looking at. So you probably can't go. But do it in the nicest way." I said to him, "You go to your father, your dad, I love you. You were so good to me. You spent so much money on this ticket. And it's because you love me. But I really promised myself I'm not doing this. But I'll meet you at the restaurant. I will not miss the Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to be at that restaurant before you get there. I'll be there for the dinner." And that's what he did. You know, that's Mesir's Nefesh. Gives away a desire. I'm sure he wanted to see that film. If he saw the first, I don't know how many came before that one. But whatever he saw, I know the Nisoyan. I really know the Nisoyan from an Avrek in our Koilo, who also, years ago, had to be, I guess you'll know better than me, 9 years ago, he came to me with a similar shiloh. He had gotten married. He and his wife made up both are not going to have VCR in the house, no TV, no movies. They're going to have a mingdosh ma'at, a mesa mingdosh. He said, "Rebbe, you got to give me a heter. You got to be married with Martin Eder." He said, Star Wars 5 just came out. Now it's Pesach time. It came out now in the theaters. Sukkot it'll be in the Blockbuster. You gotta be my hetash, be able to get a VCR in the house and rent it. My wife and I are gonna be sick if we don't see it. Both of us, he says, we saw the first four, we gotta see number 5. So I said to him, you really mean it? You feel you're going to be sick if you don't see it? He says, yes. We really were just dying to see it. We need a Hatar Zadar. He says, I'll tell you what to do. Get a babysitter tonight and go to the theater. What? Show the movies? That's what he said to me. I said, of course. It's a movie. It belongs in the theater. Your house is a Beis HaMikdash. You don't want to bring the street into your house. Your house has to be an oasis, a healthy oasis in a desert of Kedusha. Golis is a desert of Kedusha. Every Yiddish house is an oasis. Your dormitory, the yeshiva here, and it's an oasis of Kedusha. You don't want to bring the street into the oasis. Go where it belongs. If you have to see a movie, you go there. What am I afraid of? I said, come on, I'm going to eat a tray for popcorn. I trust you. You're not going to eat a tray for popcorn. So wouldn't it be better to go there than to bring it into the house? What do you think? He thought about it. It made sense. He didn't think of it before. He would never think after he made this promise to himself. He says, to me, it's Pashtus. Your house is a Mishkan. The Mishkan is Kurdish Kodesh. And you need something, you go where it belongs. You go to the Goyim for it. Because that's where it belongs. It's a Pashtus Nisach, but it's Mesiras Nefesh. It's giving away a Ratzon. So you are all here in Eretz Yisrael learning Torah. You're a minority. Most of the world is running after fun, after what they call excitement. Much of the world are addicts. They're addicts to different vices that they get stuck in. You know, Bachem, who came to me for help to get out of internet, the lashon they used when they spoke to me, two out of the number of boys who came to me, maybe it was five altogether over the years, but they said to me, I know it's wrong. I can't help it. I keep going back to it like a sick man. That's how they put it, a sick person, they put it. I keep going back. Baruch Hashem, they get out of it. We have tremendous kliklis. The mind, that's the neshama. The neshama is the brain. The neshama is logic. That's what the neshama is. It's tremendously powerful. We can get out of addictions. We can. We have ischashus. We have it. So, you're already lemal ben atem. You're already lemal ben hashemesh. So there can be tremendous chiddush. And mitz Hashem, we should be zoicha. And it's a chus, but you should be niga. We're still learning the parashis of Geulah. We have to live with those parashis. Last week, yesterday was Naseh. Today, this week's parashis, Naseh v'Nishma. We ready to go to another darga. Naseh v'Nishma. We're moving up in the second half of Kabbalah Satorah. Mitz Hashem. The idea is that ein dover ha'olim b'fnei harotzei. Nothing stands in the way of making the right bechira. And how do we show the Eibush what the Bechir is? By making moves in that direction. And the Eibush should give all of you, Mietz Hashem, tremendous Yat HaDishmaya, to be able to continue to learn and to be zoifer to the enjoyment of learning, to the Simchas HaTayr, Mietz Hashem. But even if not, as the Skol Rebbe said, nor without a Cheshik, but a Mietz Hashem to continue being people Lamal Miderech HaTeva, and the Eibush will do in your Zechus, Yitzias Mitzrayim, was in the Zechus of the minority. Chanukah and the Zechus of the minority. The Chiluk will be, the majority will come with us in this Geulah. They're going to live and be well and come with us in this Geulah. But in Yitz Hashem, we should be Zeichah. V'salichenu b'meheira k'memiyus la'artzenu for all of your families to join you here in time for Pesach. And in Yitz Hashem, we'll tell Mashiach we were Zeichah to bring him. Shekoyah for your patience.